Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
Kids. My cousin obviously still lives in India, goes to school there. Growing percentage of kids who are not taught Hindi. They only speak English at home. They only speak English at their private school. They have no idea what Hindi is, and they live in New Delhi.
Kids have to be taught Hindi in school, and they're like resisting it.
Yeah, I mean, I it was the same way for me. I didn't think it was cool to know Hindi.
Exactly.
We went to a school where the medium of instruction was English, you know, and it was like this convent school run by like Irish Catholic nuns, and the teachers were Anglo-Indian, and like some of the teachers were white, and it was like we took pride in the fact, you know. And my father is from a background where like he didn't go to a school where the medium of instruction was English, so like I used to make fun of my dad all the time for how he pronounced, and we still do that, you know. So
to that point, when you make our language uncool, that makes our culture kind of uncool, and then how do you pass on culture that's
not really...
No,
but I think it's the sort of like rite of passage, because now I value Hindi so much, you know, and now like...
But is that because you're here? I mean, a lot of people that grew up here don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, the culture has been seen as, in order to assimilate, we distance, and part of the way that we distance is those kids aren't, like, when we were in school going to Garba, like, how do I explain that to my friends that weren't Indian? Like, that was weird, and it's like, you didn't really know. I mean...
Yeah.
There were some people that embraced it. There were people, but they tended to only hang out with Indians.
Yeah.
Like, those were the kids that were only an Indian, like, and that, I don't know, there was just so much, the dynamic there was just not conducive to celebrating the culture.
Yeah, but I mean, the other thing is also, like, the English that we learn in India, and what I just said, that English has been in India for 400 years, so it's not British English, it's Indian English, and it's also, like, sort of what Vinit just said, you know, that... It kind of has changed, and it is the language of India as well. I mean, to that, there is this whole cultural imperialism and the colonial residue of, like, disliking our own culture and rejecting it.
Right.
But I think, like, we all go through sort of this rite of passage where, like, most of us kind of figure it out, you know? Like, now I, like, make an effort to read Hindi, you know? Like, try to read books in Hindi or even... attend, like, Lucknow had this whole Urdu culture, which sort of like, you know, I just sort of like lost touch since I moved here. And we Vinit and I attended this workshop Dastangoi. Do you know about the Dastangoi?
No.
So the Dastans were these long, like these guys used to like spin these tales, but these like magical, like sort of fantastical stories, just talking and just spinning away, you know. And it was an art form that's been lost, but now, what's his name? I'm zoning, like, I'm just forgetting his name, but he's like, Mehmood Farooqi, that's his name. He is sort of trying to revive this culture. So we attended the workshop in Berkeley, you know, about like sort of trying to spin a dastan, to tell a dastan, to not stop, but tell a whole story in Urdu. It was like really hard for me, you know.
But you have to make that effort. That's the point, is you are making the effort.
Exactly.
You're saying that, like, and your culture is not inherited genetically. It is learned, it is taught, it is passed on.
Yeah.
And you are making an effort. And I'm not necessarily saying that you're rare.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, you're talking about it as if this is this organic thing that everyone will kind of come to, but I'm worried, and my experience has been that that's not the organic path, because you straddle that line more truthfully than I do on some level, because you actively, well, maybe not because I lived there for a little bit, but not like, I didn't grow up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's home for you still on some, and it will always be, because you literally grew up there, you know? As much as I want to distance myself from Tampa, Florida, I can't. I grew up there. Like, I can't ignore that. So for you, maybe that has been the organic thing because you are, you know, you're reconciling those two things actively. For us, we are actively having to bring that back for us.
But you know what is interesting for me too is, and it took a while for me to figure this out too, that you cannot sort of define what identity is and like, it's so sort of amorphous, you know, like now the Indian American identity, which should come first?
Indian American. Absolutely Indian. Because it's your heritage, your ancestry.
Sorry. I drop off American. I'm sorry.
No, sorry, I'm passionate.
But it's such a, like, what it means to be Indian cannot be like set in stone. It's more amorphous. You can be just as Indian as I am, you know?
I agree, but there are things that I think that are, yes, I hear what you're saying, and those cultural things can change, and I would still be Indian. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not less Indian than you because I didn't mm-hmm. grow up there, but there are aspects. But in some ways, yes, I am. I'm sorry. Like, the fact that I don't speak fluent Hindi mm-hmm. doesn't make me less Indian. I mean, that's probably, there's problematic language in there.
Yeah.
But that does make me less in touch with my culture
mm-hmm.
than I would like to be.
Yeah.
And that you are with your culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yes, that doesn't make me.
What's the alternative? You can't force, that's what I find, like, every time somebody's forced me to do something, I'm just like...
No, the idea isn't about forcing. Like, the idea is trying to inspire and understand that this is something that can be lost.
Yeah.
And I think that no... And while, yes, we may come off as slightly militant about, like, it's not the attempt of being militant. Well, for Akash, it is. Yeah. For me, it's not. For me, it's that I feel passionately that I would... And it's something that I'm actively... And it's harder now.
Yeah.
It is so much harder now for me to learn Hindi than it would have been when I was. And I don't fault my parents at all. I mean, I jokingly mm-hmm. to them do because I like to blame them for shit mm-hmm. and it's easier. But truthfully, it's not. They were here. My eldest sister learned Hindi first.
Yeah.
By fourth grade, teachers were talking to her. And was it fourth grade? It might have been a little earlier than that.
Yeah.
They were like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
She like her Hindi because she spoke Hindi first.
Yeah.
That was her. And so... You know, then they were like, oh, shit, we need to, like, speak English at the home. And now that is our, like, default language.
Yeah.
There's a Birbal story that, like, where he's, like, trying to find out the native language of someone. And so he throws water on them. And like,
they curse.
What language, like, instinctually mm-hmm. comes out. I know instinctually what, if you throw water on them, it's going to be English.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know that.
Yeah.
And you're right. Forcing things is not the answer.
Yeah.
Maybe for Akash it is. But for me...
Into it.
But I think that we do have to, you know, the idea... To me, the idea that it will just happen...
Yeah.
Is...
A bit too idealistic?
It's not even too idealistic. It's just... It's not... It's giving up too much power. It's giving up too much of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that... I think it's also a little wrong.
I think to the point of being amorphous Indian American, mm-hmm. as time passes, it's going to become less and less Indian. This amorphous idea mm-hmm. is going to shift more and more toward just American.
Mm-hmm.
Each generation, it's going to shift dramatically. Your kids are going to feel way more American than you. Their kids, I don't even know if they feel Indian.
I mean, Modi and Aam Aadmi, as much as you wanted to, like, I was following this stuff mm-hmm. a lot. The Aam Aadmi Party was coming from this desire to go back to Nehru's ideas
mm-hmm.
on some level. And even the fact that it felt like, you know, Arvind Kejriwal, he thought that it was being lost, which mm-hmm. is, and a lot of people did, and that's why it had so much, you know, influence for a little while, and yes, it faded, and it didn't do everything it was desiring to accomplish. But there was, you know, I think there's an element of India as well that you're seeing it being lost there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to go to India and immediately was identifiable as American, mm-hmm. as like outside, Ferengi, you're American. I was traveling for the first. This was back in 2009, and I traveled to India, and I was traveling myself. And I remember I was on a train from Kanpur to mm-hmm. Chandigarh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, that train starts in Lucknow and goes through Delhi and goes up to Chandigarh. And it was a sleeper train. You know how it begins. Everyone's kind of, you know, chatting. And there were some kids. And I was, you know, we were playing cards. And there was this gentleman there. And he was, you know, he was talking to us as well. And he was doing some magic tricks. And then we were talking. Because, you know, this is what you do on a train, I guess. But at one point, he was asking me, you know, where I started and where I was going. And I said, I'm headed into Chandigarh. He assumed I was coming from Lucknow. He said, oh, are you studying
mm-hmm.
in Chandigarh?
Mm-hmm.
This man assumed I was Indian first.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I had been looked at first as Indian. And then I had to explain to him that I was from the States. And then he was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But the fact, and I didn't think that that was me becoming more Indian. Yeah. I thought that was India becoming more West.
That's so interesting.
And it was kind of cool because I was like happy to be like seen as India first. But it was also like an underlying, oh shit, are we losing things? Like Indians in, like, I don't know. I mean, the fact that when we go, I'm sorry, this pisses me off so much. When we go to Indian like weddings, and I was just in a wedding in Goa. This was like in December, and all the men were wearing suits,
American clothes.
And I was like, seen as fuck that. When that I went, is so
when I went, there was a casual event. It's a tilak, I think. It was the casual event in the day. Everybody wore Indian clothes. The formal event at night, I wore Sherwani. All the kids were wearing American clothes. That was the formal wear, and it wasn't a suit. It was jeans and maybe a sport jacket and a dress shirt.
That
it wasn't a tie, but that was formal wear, as American casual wear.
Yeah.
I got so pissed. We went to the Kanpur Club. I know we're not even letting you talk. Our discussion part of the interview has become this section.
Please just chime in.
You guys are being cultural imperialists.
We are? How are we? Yes.
I'll just say one thing.
Please.
We are all less Africans than our ancestors.
Okay, if you want to get real about it, and that, the, first of all, that hasn't been proven, the idea that we all come from Africa, but I also don't really know how relevant that is to what we're saying.
People change, culture changes, these are all living things. You embrace them, find the good in them. The good lives everywhere. So what if, like, Indians speak more English or West? Or
but you don't want to lose
suits,
the...
But, you know, they will keep the things that are important to them.
Will they keep it alive? That's my fear is we're losing the things that are good and important in this effort to become Westernized. I'm not saying...
2 billion people, they will figure out the good.
I mean, and it's happening globally.
It is happening globally.
It's globally, we're losing sort of like the markers of what was unique about each culture and like sort of embracing this sort of homogenized.
Well, it's a homogenous thing that is terrifyingly European.
Western. Yeah.
Specifically European, not even just American, but like
it's
American
very
history.
It's very
Eurocentric.
The modernity. This idea of a melting pot is not really a melting pot. We're like a spice that's thrown into this melting pot.
But you know what is also really amazing is, and like, sort of the India's championing the English language in a way is sort of putting it on the global map in a way. Like now, like when I was traveling a lot recently, and it was just great to see like just middle-class Indian families in every corner of the world just traveling. You could hear, like, Hindi being screamed, Papa, we can fortalo, you know, and you're, like, in some weird part of the world, and you're like, yes, this is Bolivia, and there's an Indian family here, you know?
Right.
Which you would not see 10 years from now. So it's, like, sort of, like, I feel like there is sort of, like, the global money is pouring in into India, and so is global culture, but it's also, like, my grandparents never left the country, you know, and so for like people living in India, they're traveling around the world and they're having this world exposure, you know, and like being like, you know, I think that was something only people from the West did, you know, they just traveled to like different parts of the different parts of the world, and rarely would people from India do it, you know,
right.
It was just like going to like Shimla and that's it. But now if you like, I mean, all my friends and their families, they're traveling to every corner of the world, you know, and it's like being able to speak English really facilitates that, makes there's this comfort level.
No, and I think that you can't ignore the fact that because we are kind of a forced upon one nation, that there isn't a unifying, there isn't really that many unifying things at all within India. And like Hindi is definitely, I mean, you go, I mean, I have friends in Chennai, and when I go down there, not that many people speak Hindi.
Yeah.
And so there had to be some sort of unifying language. And I totally understand that. I mean, but I do think that point about us being cultural imperialists from a reverse standpoint, I don't know if everyone could hear that because Vineeth was off mic, but
he's not allowed to be on mic.
He's not allowed to be on mic anymore. But Vineeth was saying that we are, he was referring to us as cultural imperialists in reverse. And he was saying that we, he made a slightly ridiculous point about about we're not all as African as our ancestors, and based on the fact that apparently we were all from Africa. And he was saying that, you know, what if culture evolves and change and less, like, somewhat, if we're not wearing the same clothes as we used to, and that we you know, that what will stay important, but maybe it's evolving. And there's truth to that, and there is absolutely, and that's the super Zen Buddhist way, and I about accepting change, because you accept change as it's happening. But I,
when cultural infection,
it was forced upon us. It was forced upon us, and that's what's fucked to me, is it was forced. We didn't make that choice.
Yeah,
this Eurocentric modernity, it lets, frankly, people that look European, and I'm like saying very white, they get to stay in power.
Yeah,
and that is what is distressing to me, because truthfully, they are not even the majority of the fucking population in the world.
Yeah,
they are a small sliver of it, and they're the ones dictating the global culture.
Yeah,
I understand totally your point, but to me, that just, it just doesn't sit well.
But you know what is interesting, and I like am learning so much from just observing my younger brother. We're like, he's been living in India, and the choices, what he thinks when he sort of mimics the Western world is very different from what, like, it's their version. So even a sort of like adapting or sort of taking on the West is not really like clearly following the West. It's sort of like with an Indian twist, which is really fascinating.
That's
to me.
Interesting.
What he like thinks is cool to wear. And I'd be like, nobody would wear that in the U.S.
Like what? Ridiculous.
Yeah, but he like says, but it doesn't matter, because none of my friends know that this is not how they do it in the U.S. What they think is, this is how it's done in the U.S., so we're going to do it the way my friends or my community, which is really fascinating to me, because I'd be like, nobody would be caught dead wearing Abercrombie and Fitch in the U.S. And he's like, everyone wears it here, so.
But they are still, 2 points. One, they're still, to that point, aspiring to a Western ideal.
Yeah.
And that's where we get bothered. Also, to the point of cultural imperious. First of all, I take that as a compliment. and part of it is because the culture that is the global culture it came from imperialism. It came from European imperialism. So to me, I'm not taking anybody over. I'm just saying, hey, let's go try to get the good things back that we probably lost along the way.
I think that the way that we've, I mean, India's growing so rapidly, and it's kind of crazy for me to talk about what's happening in India with too much authority or any authority at all, because I get it from the outside and I get it from the taste that I go to India very frequently.
And your version of India is also your version. That's what's fascinating, that you have a lens that you've seen.
Absolutely.
Which is the same for India, like how
absolutely.
It looks at the West.
I have a cousin in Singapore who, you know, she doesn't ever want to go back to India because of how, and she said, because of how much India hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
Like what she wanted India to be and how it failed her.
Yeah.
And I totally, and so she has I absolutely will say that I look at things through rose colored glasses through it. But I think that's because when I grew up here, it was looked at with such a black, I mean, I don't know what the reverse of rose colored glasses are, but it was looked at through such
stigma,
like not cool. And so I think maybe on some level it's me shifting that pendulum to the other side.
Yeah.
But, oh shit, I don't know why I started talking in the first place. What was I saying at the beginning? Something about India. Oh,
yeah.
Nope, lost it. Someone else talk.
Well, this is to the point when you said, not cool. This is something, normally we talk amongst each other. Like we talk about something that stuck out to us. And you said, I don't want to be seen as this uncool fob.
Yeah.
And that, to a larger point, this is kind of different, but in the same way that, like, we kind of look down
when
on our
I was
culture.
Younger, I've said.
It's the same. No. I'm not. This is not an attack against you. But we
you
look
now
at
want to hold up a second. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
you want to be.
I don't care.
Yeah. Now you want to be the fob. Please.
Because she's
no.
been in America for 10 years and she's mad Americanized. Uh-huh. But here's the. Now that you know. Now that people aren't gonna think
back.
You're a fob. But here's what bothers me is my American friends are they really look down on fobbiness or whatever. Oh, you look so fobby right now, my Indian American friends. Why is that so uncool? Why is that a problem?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell. I love kurtas. I love them. I think they're so fun. And I have like 7. And I love to wear kurtas with jeans.
Mm-hmm.
But when I used to rock New York, and New York is a very tolerant and accepting place, and I love that for it. New York is one of the few places that I would feel safe outside of India doing this. But even when I would do that, so many people would be like, nice dress. Nice dress you're wearing. Oh, you were, and it was just, you know, it gets annoying. It
but
gets
why
annoying.
Why does that bother me as an Indian American if you're the one taking the grief? Why am I gonna look down on you?
Because you, why would you want to catch grief? Why
I'm
would
not
you
catching
want that?
Grief,
no, but you would if
grief.
You did that.
Because
if
you got enough pride to wear it, so
well,
good
I
for
know.
You.
Yes, but I'm gonna say I stopped wearing them. I stopped wearing them because it was so much grief. And it was just like, it no longer felt comfortable.
But then that shades your perception of the entire, anybody who's being overly Indian is, ah, ugh, Fabi, gross.
Well, it's just like, why would you want to do that? It's like, why are you being stupid? Like, you're going to get grief. I don't know. I don't know the answers. I mean, this is genuinely like this is.
But that was something I always kind of it didn't. There are certain things that when you're doing, I don't know, like if you're whatever the bad things are that we associate with India, like a guy doesn't know how to hit on a girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. I get making fun of that. I get teasing that. We have
1.3 billion people in the world. I think we know how to hit on women. That's always been the funniest thing to me about like these desexualized Indian men that are portrayed in American media. We have 1.3 billion people. We're having sex.
Yeah, that's
sex is happening in India.
We're getting it in. That's a good point. But I always thought that was, it was kind of odd, like this uncool fob. Mm. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
That just because he's Indian and he's from India and he's of that culture, we look at that as uncool.
Now, when you say we, you mean like Indians itself.
Indians in America, Indian Americans, ABCDs.
Because the whole point of being here is trying to assimilate.
That's not the whole point of being here is making more money than you can make wherever you were before.
How do you do that?
Indians don't move to Fiji because they like the culture.
They are there. Do you know that?
They're there. That's exactly my point. And we're not there because we're like, oh, Fiji, beautiful.
No, but they never made a choice.
They got great bottled water.
They didn't make a choice to go to.
Really?
They were indentured laborers. It was largely slaves, basically, because the British Empire was still a part of the British Empire, India and Fiji both, and they passed this law where they could against slavery, right? But they still needed somebody laborers. To work the sugarcane fields, right? And so the native population was like, we're not doing it. So they made people from UP and Bihar signed this agreement, and they couldn't even say the word agreement. They said girmit, you know? So they signed this agreement that they'll work there for 10 years. All this money will be sent back to their family, and then they'll be put on a ship back to India. That never happened. And so it's like the girmitia bhais or the girmitia brothers. And so they were brought as these laborers, and they like worked the fields, the sugarcane fields in Fiji. And there's like, they never went back to India. Now there's like generations of Indian Fijians.
Can I say something about, we're talking about cultural imperialism, if that's a bad thing, for the record. The whole world needs to learn something from aspects of India and like at our root, because we were and are, I mean, the tolerance for people that was in ancient India, I mean, not as much now because obviously things are shifting. I mean,
that's
it's massive. I mean, there's yes, it's cultural imperialism. You could call it cultural imperialism, but maybe it's just education. Shit, I nailed that. Felt so good about that one.
You ever have a sentence come together the right way in your head and you're like, oh, I got that. I killed that one.
Oh, man. Well, shit. Anyone has any final thoughts? I mean, we've run way over time, so we definitely need to close up shop on this one. But if anyone has a final thoughts, I want to leave it open for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining our little post-interview discussion.
If you guys want to hit us up on our Facebook page, Indian American, or on Twitter at Indo American Pod. We would love to hear from you. Let's keep this conversation going.
I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
We'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.